Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I've just had a laryngeal massage. Do you know what that is?
No.
Sounds a bit like a vaginal massage.
Jessie, please, do you have to bring that up?
Well, laryngeal massage is what you do on your throat and your vocal cords and work that, because I've been in rehearsals all week. So shout out to Lawrence, who actually is very kind and comes bearing gifts every time. And this time he brought en route some... Hot sauce. Last time, which would have gone perfectly with your dish today, he brought me, his brother's a brewer for a Brixton brewery called Orbit Brewery. He used to work for Brixton Brewers and he's working for Orbit Brewery. I'm not a big beer person. However, he brought over for one of my massages some beers, a sour, which was a tzatziki flavoured beer sour.
But you drank it, darling.
I did.
You could have brought it.
And it was delicious.
Yeah.
What are we having on the menu tonight, Mum?
So I watched a TV programme.
Yes.
Jamie Oliver was in Skopelos. So he did a chicken with tzatziki, marinated in tzatziki because he said the yoghurt.
Well, the yoghurt makes it moisture.
Yeah. And you do it on a bed of onions and you make onion lemon rice as part of the use all the juices.
Lovely.
And then I've done a plum tort, which... I don't know what the difference is between a tort and a tart, but it's a tort. And I'm going to serve it with ice cream or mascarpone or fresh cream. It looks like kind of plum cake. Looks very nice.
Gorgeous.
Anyway.
Thank you. You seem very relaxed. You fasted well. It was Yom Kippur yesterday.
I pray for you all. That's probably
thank
a good
you, Mum.
Thing.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Kept you in mind.
Went
to synagogue. Yeah. Came home and made chopped herring. Which was absolutely delicious. I had it with my friend Jill's kichel.
Well, can you explain what a kichel is?
Kichel's like a biscuit, a very thin biscuit.
Very nice.
Almost with sugar on, and it's very, very thin.
And you have it with chopped herring.
Well, I had chopped, you always have it with chopped herring.
It's like the sweetness with the kind of tartness.
Yeah.
Yes, an acquired taste.
And I did get invited back to break my fast, but I'd made... fried fish with matzah meal.
Here?
Yeah.
Did you wear a shower cap?
No, I didn't. I just did it quickly, but does the house smell of fish now?
No. Have you got any? Have you got any chopped and fried for me?
No.
I didn't do chopped and fried.
I did fry plaice done with matzah meal, and I'll do it for you this weekend
if
you want.
Well, we do have a Jewish person on today.
Oh, yes.
We thought
prayed
maybe...
for him as well.
Maybe he didn't need your prayers.
Probably did.
We've got Matt Lucas on the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is really great, apart from the fact that he's an Arsenal supporter.
Arsenal, a bit worried about
that. He's very funny.
Very
He's also very lovely. He was very lovely on the Great British Bake Off.
Very kind.
Very kind.
Fantasy football. He might tell me how to do it.
Oh, my God, imagine if you were on a fantasy football thing with
I'd
Matt Lucas.
I'd love to do fantasy football.
And he's got a new book that's called The Boy Who Slept Through Christmas.
Very interesting Jewish man writing about Christmas.
Not that we ever celebrate it hugely, Mum.
No.
Yeah, sure. Allergic to raw apples, grapes, pears, and does not eat fish or cheese. See, the first thing that Mum said she was going to cook was coq au vin. What is coq au vin made of, Mum? Grapes.
Grapes.
Wine. Matt Lucas is already here, and I haven't got any makeup on.
Oh, quick, Jessie.
Oh, God. Matt Lucas coming up on Table Manners.
Don't let the side down.
Matt Lucas, thank you for being here.
It's all right. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure. I mean, when I opened the door, you're very youthful still.
Can I tell you, you look much younger.
Do
in
I?
True life.
Oh, gosh.
Well, thank you. That's
are you 14?
That's to say...
I'm going to be 50 in March.
You're not.
What skincare
honest
do you
to God.
Use?
I don't use any, and I should. And I watched myself back
don't
on the One
it.
Show yesterday, which I hardly ever do. And I was
did
like,
you think?
No, I was like, oh, you're looking old.
You
really?
You do not look old, darling.
Really?
You look gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
You look very youthful. Honestly, I would have thought you were in your
back.
late 30s.
I'm like,
oh, I'll take that.
I
thank
think
you.
I know we're going to talk about the book, but maybe you should bring some kind of youth. Like, you know,
yeah, face
rejuvenating face cream.
Well, do you know what it is?
I
what
would
is
buy
it?
Your cream.
Processed food and neglect.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, well, on to that. Tell me about your childhood. Who was cooking around the dinner table and what were you eating?
I was eating... I was a very fussy child food-wise.
Right.
And some of that I maintained in adulthood. Little anxieties and... things, nervousness around food, and I will eat this, I won't eat that.
Oh, God.
So is this quite stressful for you to be here and us to be cooking for you and you not having...
No, because it was stressful once I went on one of those, and it might be called Saturday Kitchen.
Yeah.
And they made...
They didn't make you eat snails or something.
No, it was... Because I don't eat cheese and I don't eat fish. But they didn't get that memo, and they made me some. They gave me some haddock, and what
it's
I
in a cheese one. Sauce.
No, it didn't have the cheese sauce on it, but it was still haddock. And I was live on the television, and the man had worked ever so hard, and he was very, you know, a very good chef. So, and I was on the TV, and I thought, well, you've got to be well behaved. So what
did you eat it?
Well, what happened was, because I know, because it doesn't matter. You could be the best chef in the world, and this could be the best fish in the world. You know, I went to Nobu and I did try a taste of the blackened cod with miso because people...
And?
It's not for me. It's just, I'm just not, I don't enjoy fish.
Nobu wouldn't be your place really to go.
No, there's lots of other things you can eat there.
I know, but I like Nobu.
I'd love it. There's lots of other food there. But I was on this Saturday Kitchen and they gave me the haddock. And you know what I did? I did have a taste of it because obviously I was on the television. You need to be polite. I went, oh, this is... Try this.
Oh, very good.
Try that.
Good,
very good.
And I went round the studio and there people would have gone, Matt Lucas is very good to the crew, you know.
Kind.
I was palming it off is what I was actually doing.
Very clever.
No, and the thing is, for haddock, it was very nice for haddock. But yeah. I don't like haddock.
So, I'm not keen on haddock.
No,
so
there you go.
So tell me about... Are you allergic to some things? Too?
Yeah, so I have allergies, like anaphylactic allergies. So raw apples, raw peaches, raw pears and raw plums.
I've done cooked plums.
No,
cooked plums is fine.
No, but I'm scared now.
No,
really?
No, Jessie,
would you eat a cooked plum?
Yeah, I've had a good life. And I have...
No, this is quite stressful.
No,
you should have
fine.
Said blue plums was
you
not on
the
list.
You can just have ice cream.
Well, it's... Yeah, I'll be fine. Don't worry, it's fine. If it's cooked, I'm fine.
It's cooked.
Well, you better
fucking
cook that.
I could have, like, for instance, like,
Jessie.
I wouldn't eat raw apples, but like apple pie, like if it was McDonald's apple pie, I'd have two.
Oh, really?
It's all good. Life is good. Don't worry. And I'm, you know, David's funnier than me, so as long as he's still around, we're fine.
But here's
the thing. Growing up, I was very nervous about food, but my mother was the daughter of someone who'd escaped the Holocaust, and so, you know, and my mother had grown up and father with rationing when they were very young, and so food was not something that you wasted or spurned, and so understandably, you know, my mum was at home cooking and the food was to be eaten if it was served, but I would get anxious, and meal times were often an argument, and so I would often not eat, but then I'd hide in my room and I'd eat crisps and things.
What do you think made you anxious about food? Do you think it was because the whole thing was
so
very...
I think there's this thing which is there are some people called super tasters. Do you know about this?
No.
There are some people who have a very 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 heightened taste buds where everything tastes many 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 times stronger than it does
and
to
you
most
think
people.
It's you.
Yeah, so I think food often it's a bit like a lot of food is overwhelming for me because I think I'm one of those super tasters.
Yeah.
So I look for slightly blander food. And also, I'm a little bit on the spectrum, so sometimes it's just how that manifests.
Why did you come on a food podcast?
Well, I did.
I think he was made by his lovely manager, and I'm so sorry. I apologise. No, I don't mind.
We'll make it as bland as possible. Let's contextualise this. I hosted Great British Bake Off for 3 years.
Did you eat cake?
I ate some of it, and some of it I didn't. I mean, there's some things, doesn't matter how well done they are, they're just not for me. I'm not really a fan of quiche. And so, you know, everyone was making quiche. I'm sure, no doubt it was the finest quiche in all of Christendom. But there's probably nothing you could do to get me to eat it.
What was it about? Was it the texture of quiche?
It's cheese, darling.
No, forget, not all of them have cheese, though.
The over-egging of the pudding of quiche.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But also, for me, savoury food should be hot.
But were the quiches cold?
Yes.
Oh, that's a bit sad.
Everything's cold, I should think, on
cold in the tent.
So back to your childhood. You grew up in Stanmore.
Yeah.
Jewish family.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing Jews.
Practicing, and we will get it right.
Bar mitzvah?
Yeah, well, yeah, bar mitzvah, yeah. I was born in 74, so I was bar mitzvahed in 1987.
Yeah,
and
what was the, thing?
Vogue? Well, a lot of the people that I went to school with, haberdashers, did have sort of big bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
But my parents were not together. And we weren't one of those families with money to spare. It wasn't one of those big flashy bar mitzvahs at
where
a big
function.
Where
you shake
wine gigs
in his hand.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those. You know,
it wouldn't have been wine gigs, darling.
It was at home. We had the lunch in at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, my dad had a party. It was in the community centre in Wildstone. So it was a different, but it was full of love and, and I was bar mitzvahed and I was quite religious back then and I became Chatan Torah. I was made Chatan Torah, yeah.
What's that?
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
The groom of the Torah.
Yeah, so that was a bit, and I actually carried on going to Hebrew classes after my bar mitzvah. That's how I was quite into it. But now I am an atheist. And but I still do.
Do you still feel Jewish?
Oh yeah, completely. It's a secular type of Judaism, but yeah, I mean, I was with the family for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year last week, and I would have been with my family to break the fast for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, but I was on the one show.
Yeah, I was similarly, I was going to pop over and break fast with mum and I was in a fitting and a leotard for my tour. So, yeah.
So it just goes that way sometimes.
So
that's
we're
work,
in God's
isn't
bad
it?
Book for the year, but you don't believe in God, so you're going to be all right. And I don't even know if I do, but I don't know, I've got guilt.
I don't believe in God, but I do, you know, I was brought up, you know, my when I was brought up, Saturday mornings, going to synagogue, Sunday mornings going to Hebrew classes at the synagogue. Sunday evenings going to youth club at the synagogue. Tuesday evenings, more religion classes at the synagogue. Thursday evenings, Boy Scouts at the synagogue. So it was a big, it was a huge part of my life. And my mum worked at the synagogue. When I was very young, she worked in the kindergarten there. Then she became the assistant secretary. My dad and brother used to help out with security. My stepmother worked at the day center. My cousin worked at the kindergarten there.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a big thing.
So what was one of your most, when you think about Jewish food, what's the first thing that you think about that you enjoy and the first thing that you think about that you're like,
well, the big treat was, and it's still a big treat, is my mum's chicken soup on a Friday night. With lokshen, which is vermicelli.
Have lokshen?
Oh yeah,
but do you do matzo balls as well?
Matzo balls were really a big deal, a very 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 special occasion. We get matzo ball soup, and now I make my own matzo ball soup. But that was a really big deal. I mean, that was obviously the Passover Pesach. So during the 8 days of the Passover, obviously you're not allowed to eat bread that has been, you have to eat unleavened bread. Yeah. And so you can't have pasta and you can't have bread. So you eat matzah, which is like Jacob's cream crackers, and is very dry and makes you a bit constipated.
And you try and make it sexy. Yeah. Matzah braai, and you'll do all these different things.
But one of the great things you can do with matzah meal is make matzah balls, knedlach, and they are wonderful. And I have almost been on a mission to have as much matzah ball soup where I can in the world. So if I'm anywhere in the world and they have matzah ball soup, it's okay. I make it at home now. Okay.
Is your recipe good?
Yeah, I spend about, it's from when I start it, it's 36 hours till it's ready. It's a kerfuffle, yeah. It's good though. And I bought a 32-litre pot, so I'll make like 30 portions and freeze it.
Do your family love it?
They don't get... I mean, they've tried it, but it's for me. No, I mean, they've tried it. My brother won't have it because my brother is kosher. And I'm not kosher, and it's... I actually use kosher chicken.
But he still won't have it?
Yeah, because the pot hasn't been blessed, has it? It hasn't been made kosher.
Yeah.
But if I got it blessed or things, I don't have a kosher kitchen.
It means more for you though, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I put in carrots, brown onions, spring onions, parsnip,
spring onions as well.
Celery and leek. Those six. Yeah, those six. And then a tiny bit of salt, tiny bit of, pepper, a little bit of sugar, and actually some Maggi seasoning and some of that Osem powdered stock, which just helps.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah, because it does. You need a bit, don't you?
You put Maggi seasonings.
Or soy sauce if I don't have any Maggi, which does work, yeah. And actually, I'll give you a bit of advice. If you're making roast chicken and you're doing roast potatoes, putting a little bit of that seasoning, sieving it over the potatoes, like
That's
you might
a
sieve
great
flour.
Idea.
Sieving it over the potatoes before you put them in the oven. And it's really good.
Oh my God, my mouth is watering.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. So you're a bit of a...
I actually thought of that myself.
That's wicked. Yeah. Love that. Yeah. Okay, so a negative from Judaism growing up. I'm presuming it's going to be something around fish.
Gefilte fish.
The wet, boiled
Just
the, kind.
Everything of it. I mean, I did used to eat fish when I was very young, and I'd have fish balls, and they were nice, actually. I liked them at the time.
Yeah.
But, gefilte fish, it's a bit much. And sort of, you know, when you see... You know, like, my grandmother was a refugee from Berlin, and she would eat that sort of herring on rye bread and all
Mum
that.
Mum made some.
Yeah, I'm. That's
yeah,
not.
He's
not for me. I don't. Yeah, that's not for me. Thank you though.
So would you say your mum was a good cook?
Well, this thing happened. So we had this kind of old cooker. And so it was a bit of a joke. The joke was, oh, mum can't cook. Like, that was the joke. And then she got a new cooker. And the food was the same. But I have always liked my mum's food, right? So sometimes you go to people's houses and it would be a little more sophisticated. But my mum, she cooked with love, you know. And we had our staple, you know, we had... what she always called shepherd's pie, but was actually cottage pie.
Oh, because it was done with beef.
Done with beef. Shepherd's pie is with lamb. And cottage pie is with beef. So it was cottage pie. And she did spaghetti bolognese. And she did roast chicken. And yeah, those kind of were rotated. Those three meals. But I loved them. I was very happy with them and comforted by them.
So you have a brother?
I have a brother, an older brother.
Did you get on when you were younger?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we would, he was my older brother, and our interests were different. You know, I was the sensitive child and liked musicals and things like that. And he was,
quite a lot of Jewish boys.
Yeah, and he was like, he was more typical, I would say. And he was into sort of hip hop and things like that. He was, you know, he's as straight as I'm gay, you know. So we didn't always have that much in common growing up, but we did both have a shared love of football very much. And we have a very harmonious, happy relationship as adult brothers. I mean, we go to the football together. We're very
season ticket.
So I've got a pair of season tickets,
and he comes.
He sort of has first refusal.
You're showing me, even though you're quite picky with food, you have some recipes that I would like to know. What would be something that you would cook as a bit of a showstopper for Lenny and I. If we were coming over.
I will say it is the
chicken soup.
Yeah.
I wanted 36
hours.
I don't cook it.
Well, what that is because I'm probably, you know, it's about 6 hours for the broth, but I leave it to cool on the stove so that I can scrape off the fat.
I put it outside.
Well, that's a good idea.
And then I skim the fat. And I tell you,
the thing is, my pot is too big. I wouldn't be able to carry it.
No, I put it into a pot. I put it into a Tupperware.
Oh.
Put it with a lid outside. But I tell you a tip, a little hack.
He didn't ask.
I don't skim it like that.
Yeah.
I put a piece of kitchen towel on.
Yeah.
And all the fat comes off, and you're left with, and the juice will drop away. And you just take the fat off.
I dab it.
I just put it over the top.
And it absorbs and pulls off.
And it comes off.
How do you feel about that, Mark?
Well, have you ever been over eager and then lost the entire sheet of kitchen roll inside
it's
the seat?
Get a Bounty, you'll be all right. Bounty, the stronger soaker upper.
Well, you need to get the right Bounty. You don't get a chocolate Bounty.
Would you try that? Or do you feel
I'm going to try it now.
Okay. Yeah. Let us know how it goes.
Honestly.
It doesn't taste of kitchen roll.
Something smells like it's burning. Is that? Okay, fine. So you do the chicken soup. Would that be a starter or would that be the main?
Well, so yeah, the thing is I'd put lots of chicken in. Oh, one of the things I do, and for some people this is sacrilege, is all the vegetables, once they get very stewed, I mean, I quite like them, but I don't keep them in the soup because they've absorbed a lot of the fat.
Okay.
And once you've frozen your soup and then defrosted
it,
they
get a bit sad.
Don't you keep the carrots?
So I actually don't, because what I do is I use these soup socks.
Oh, sorry.
So I put all the... I have these
muslin.
Thin... Yeah, but they're disposable ones.
Okay.
And so I put all the vegetables
in
a soup sock.
And squeeze it.
And then I put... Yeah, and so it works for me.
I don't like the name sock.
No, I get it.
Do you know what I mean?
I get it.
How clear is your soup?
I get it. It's clear. And the reason it's clear...
Is it like tea?
Yeah, I'll tell you why it's... No, I'll tell you why it's clear and how it's clear. And this is the big thing that I do, which is, you know, what most people do with their chicken soup is they bring it to the boil and you get all the foam.
You skim it off.
Right,
yeah.
And people skim it off.
Mm.
Well, I do a different thing. I do what they do in Asia when they're making ramen or pho.
Pho.
Yeah, I always thought it was pho, but...
Pho.
Yeah.
You don't go to the Vietnamese nail bars.
I need to.
Yeah,
that's how you know it's pho.
Pho. What I do is I actually, I do skim it off, but then I decant the chicken into another pot and I don't use the first 25 minutes of that soup.
Fuck.
So I don't use it.
You're quite wasteful, Matt.
I mean,
the veggies are out. The first 25 minutes are out.
How many pots of chicken soup would you say you make a year?
Well, I do this probably twice a year.
Yeah, you see,
because there's 32. There's probably 32 helpings.
So your freezer is full of chicken soup.
Yeah.
Have you got some in there for this week when it's a busy week of promo?
I had some. What are we? 2 days ago.
Can I ask about? You know, you talked about your brother and you being very different hip hop musicals.
Mm-hmm.
You've basically written a musical with this new book.
I've written a musical, yeah.
So The Boy Who Slept Through Christmas.
Yes.
Was this initially a book?
So The Boy Who Slept Through Christmas was a novel I was writing, and I thought I would love for this one day to be a stage musical because I've always wanted to write a musical. And then as I wrote the novel, as I was writing it, you know, creatively things change, right?
Yeah.
And as I was writing it, I was hearing melodies and themes and characters were coming alive in the book through song in my head. And then I realized, well, maybe I should write three or four of these songs and just sort of suggest to people what this could be. And then I wrote 20 songs. I actually wrote 21 and cut one because I didn't feel it was right. But I wrote 20 songs and recorded them. And so this is a musical novel. And what happens is, if you go to theboywhoslept.com, there's lyric videos of all the songs there so people can hear them. But actually...
Are you singing all of them?
I'm singing on some of them. But actually what it is the book has QR codes all the way through.
Right.
And so as you read the book, you get to a QR code and then point your phone at it or your tablet and then it takes you to a lyric video and you can hear the song. Or if you buy the audio book, then the songs just happen.
I think you'd better get the e-book.
If you get the e-book and you're online, you have to be online, then you click the link each time and it will take you to the lyric video.
Which one do you think works the best, the audiobook?
I think they all work, to be honest with you, in their own way. I don't really have a favourite because the book is designed to be consumed in all those three ways.
So what happens next? Do we make this into a kind of like, you're going to become like the new snowman? Move over. We've got a new kid in town. The boy who slept through Christmas. Or would you like it to go to stage? Could you do both? Would you do an adaptation for television? Because we'd all like that at Christmas.
Yeah, so I've got this sort of, I would love for it to go on stage.
Yeah. Is that a possibility?
I mean, I hope so.
Are you talking about it?
No, not yet, because I wanted to finish the book and get it out. So when it was announced that I was doing a musical novel, one big producer did contact us, and I said, well, look, let me just get the book out there and let's just see what happens. Mm. So my aim is to turn it into a stage musical. And then I have a dream that maybe it could be on television, where you do an hour on Christmas Eve, an hour on Christmas Day, and an hour on Boxing Day, and you do it as
I love that.
As a musical series.
As a parent, I appreciate that. That's three hours of entertainment when they've got bored of opening presents. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Amazing.
Well, hopefully it is. I mean, you've got to listen to the music and see if you like it.
It will happen.
I hope so. I mean, I'm really, really fond of it, and I've worked really hard on it, and so I'd love to get it on stage, and then I've already started thinking about another musical novel.
Do you know... Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know my friend Orlando Weeks? He wrote a thing called The Gritter Man.
Right.
And maybe you should do something... You're probably already doing this, but at Christmas... I'm being pushy Jewish mother now. Christmas time, he what's that? Union Chapel?
Yeah.
And they narrated it and they had the music playing and it was like this. You could start with that before the musical happens and you could kind of read it and you're already doing it, aren't you?
This Christmas, on the 10th of December, there's two concerts at the Cadogan Hall.
Cool. Right.
There's a group called...
I love the Cadogan Hall.
Yeah, it's lovely. There's a group called Chorus, which I'm part of, which we're a company and we put on shows. And we're putting on a big Christmas show. We do it every year. We do a Christmas show every year at Cadogan Hall. And we have lots of stars from West End musicals come and sing popular Christmas songs. But what we're talking about is taking two or three songs from the musical and performing them
Amazing.
In this Christmas show. And obviously we have a small orchestra, so that's exciting. I'd love to do like a concert tour of The Boy Who Slept Through Christmas one day. I've got loads of plans for it. Because it's a rich story, you know. There's loads
What's the
in
story?
It.
What, the,
so the story's about... Leo, who's a 10-year-old boy, and he loves Christmas. And that July, his mother passes away after a long illness. And he says to his dad, wow, look at this.
Oh, Mum, that looks really
good. I hope it is.
Looks
look
delicious,
at that nosh. Congratulations. He says to his dad, I'm not sure I can celebrate Christmas anymore. And dad says, no. What we actually should do is have the best Christmas ever. We've got to have the best Christmas ever. Mm. That's what Mum would have wanted. So Leo sets about having the best Christmas ever and works really, really hard, but everything goes wrong. And he wishes Christmas away. And then something happens, and I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I'm in.
I'm glad. But I've written this book for children and for adults. And so, in a gentle way, it's a funny book. It's a comedic book. There's lots of funny songs. It's a funny book, but it is a little bit a book about grief.
Were you dealing with grief
and
yourself?
I've lost people.
Yeah.
And so it is a book about grief and about how we live with grief.
Mm.
And, you know, there are a lot of children who this might be their first Christmas without a parent or a sibling or a friend or a grandparent, an uncle, a teacher, somebody that's been... a beacon in their life who isn't there anymore. And so this is about how do we navigate this in a time of change and can we still smile? And so that's what the book is about. But it is funny and there's lots of funny characters, funny songs, and it's kind of fantastical in parts. And I've worked really hard on it and I'm really proud of it. And I know it's not cool to say that, but I really hope people enjoy it.
Tell me which bit of the chicken you like.
Well, I'm quite... I like white
breast.
Meat, but I'm... Yeah, of course.
Fine.
But I don't have to have white meat. I do
Sorry,
like the
you're
other...
You're the guest.
Wow, that you're very sweet. Thank you.
And I'll know it's cooked as well.
Thank you. God, it does look great, doesn't it?
I hope it is.
So this
I don't
is
actually need too much skin. I'm doing my best not to have too much skin. Yeah, just be healthy. Yeah. Not that the skin isn't delicious.
No,
of course.
No. This is tzatziki chicken.
Right.
So
it's roasted.
Roasted,
yeah. But it's kind of roasted have, with yogurt. And then you have rice, onions.
So this is like a lemon onion rice.
Oh, lovely.
Very nice.
Will you have rice?
Yes, thank you. Not too many onions, just one onion. There we go.
Do these things just come out?
Yeah, but they're not to be celebrated. Thank you very much.
Would you like
you
some
can
salad?
Have more rice.
Some, I have a little bit of salad, thank you. Now, I've moved the microphone for continuity. I hope that's not an issue.
Which is your favourite musical, Matt?
Oh, it's hard. So one of the first musicals I ever saw was Oliver, and I think I'm not sure I've yet seen anything that has moved me like that. Although,
what was it, Cameron McIntosh one? No, you were.
Oh,
I
actually saw it in the Albury when I was five or six. But the movie is unbelievable. So I love Oliver. Mm. I love West Side Story. I love Oklahoma. Mm. Little Shop of Horrors. Mm. I think
Jessie was in that.
Fantastic. Were you?
I was the bin lady.
Oh.
An alarm goes off at supper.
Were you?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fun. Yeah.
Wow, and where did you perform that?
Oh, that's at Sussex Uni.
Which was great. And I love Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor
Dreamcoat.
Oh, my
God, me too.
I love Starlight Express, which is coming back.
You like Lloyd Webber, then?
Lloyd Webber, yeah, I think it's fantastic. Jesus Christ Superstar. I love Les Miserables.
Do you like some tzatziki?
No, I'm all right, thank you. Les Miserables and Guys and Dolls is fantastic.
Have you been to see the new?
Yeah, twice.
Really?
It's brilliant. Yeah, and Katie Seacombe is in it. And Katie and I have played the Thénardiers often in Les Miserables. She's the daughter of Harry Seacombe. And she's on my musical.
Who does she play? Who does
she? Oh, she plays. You know the Salvation Army.
Oh yeah.
She's part of that.
Okay. Oh,
group. She's the sort of inspector.
The Bridge Theatre. Yeah. Anybody who hasn't seen it, you should go and see it.
It is sensational, isn't it?
Mum, this looks much. Great. It smells delish.
Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work. If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When did you realise you were really funny, Matt? Were you always making everyone laugh around the dinner table?
I don't know if I've ever thought that. I did stand-up comedy when I was 18.
That's so brave.
And
terrifying.
Foolhardy, I would call it.
Somebody must have said you should do this, or were you just like, I'm going to do this?
I just...
Where was it?
Well, I did the circuit for 4.5 years from when I was 18. And after 5 weeks, I was spotted by Bob Mortimer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was really, really, really lucky. But I did do 4.5 years of slogging around the circuit and gigging. And I'm sure that is what I thought I would be doing for the rest of my career.
When you told your parents you wanted to be a comedian,
yeah,
What did they say?
There's, you know the great Bob Monkhouse line?
No.
I said I wanted to be a comedian. They laughed. They're not laughing now.
Very good.
Well, my father was very, very excited at the prospect and very encouraging.
Why?
Because I think I used to make him laugh, and he was a huge fan of comedy, and he introduced me to people like Jack Benny and Mel Brooks and, you know, comedians growing up. And my parents loved, you know, Mike Yarwood. They used to go and watch Mike Yarwood being filmed, and Malcolm and Wise. They went to Malcolm and Wise recordings and met them and stuff like that. They were, you know, my dad was a big comedy fan, and he introduced me to Monty Python. And I remember my parents showing me Fawlty Towers when I was a kid. And my dad was excited about that. You know, my mum was a little anxious, completely understandably, because I wanted to be an actor, but I'd gone to this private school, which was very academically minded, called Haberdashers. And, I wanted to be an actor. And I had been an actor. I was in the National Youth Music Theatre when I was 13. I was in a West End play when I was 14. Went to open auditions and got in. It was called The 15 Streets. It was a Catherine Cookson novel.
Right.
And when I was 16, I got into the National Youth Theatre. So, you know, in which is where I met David Walliams. That was in 1990. So, you know, I was going to be an actor because I was already doing that. Yeah, and that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I was going to do. And for A, you know, I went to university to do theatre, film and television, Bristol and University. And so that was the trajectory. And my mum was understandably anxious when, 1 year before the end of university, I said, I'm going to go off and do this full time. You know, because the deal I had with my parents, which I think is very reasonable, which is if you want to be an actor, that's fine, but you have to be prepared that you won't be acting most of the time. And therefore, you know, you need to get a degree so you can go and teach English and drama in schools.
Okay.
So if you can teach acting when you're not acting yourself, you will have a livelihood, you know. And I didn't come from a family with limitless funds. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't be bankrolled like that. You know, my mum had three jobs, you know.
What did your dad do?
My dad, when I was very young, had a company that traded in aluminium. But he, he died quite young. But he was a driver. You know, he would drive. He had a nice car and would drive important or famous people around. You know, and he would always come home and go, oh, you know, I drove this celebrity today and that celebrity today, and I get very excited when he'd say, you know, he drove Paul Daniels once, and said he was lovely, and he arrived early. And Paul and Daniels and Debbie McGee invited him in, and they gave him breakfast, which I thought was very nice.
Oh, that's really
nice. Yeah, occasionally he'd say, oh, I drove this person, they weren't very nice.
Your mum did three jobs?
Yeah, so understandably, my mum was anxious about the idea, there's that word anxious again, the idea of me leaving university without a degree to go and try and make a living in one of the most precarious professions in the world.
I get that.
This was coupled with two other factors. One was, you know, my grandmother, and I understood this when I did Who Do You Think You Are? And I went to where my grandmother had studied. My grandmother wanted to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was studying first to be a nurse. And then Jews were not allowed to study in Germany. And so she was prevented from completing her studies. And I understand now why she was so opposed to me not getting my degree when I think about how she herself...
Because she wanted, that's all she really wanted.
...had wanted for herself was to be able to complete, you know, and so she'd ended up being a nurse, but, she should have been a doctor. She was fiercely intelligent.
Because she was very clever.
Yeah, and would have been a great doctor. So there was that. Plus, my mum had come to see me on stage a couple of times and I had died on my arse. She came, and I was doing a weird act. I mean, it was performance art, really, more than stand-up. And I was 18, and she came to see me do gigs where I played to silence. She came to see me do gigs where I got booed off.
Oh, my God.
So when I told her, I'm going to do this, I mean, I think her being mortified is a very natural response. And she really only, you know, even when I was on, like, Shooting Stars, If we were out and we were walking past a restaurant or somewhere that was advertising a vacancy that had a job in the window, she was like, maybe you should go and do that. And I'd be like, Mum, I'm on telly. I'm on telly. She's like, yeah, but you don't know.
That with you, Jesse.
Right. And when I got adverts, when I started doing adverts for Cadbury's Cream Egg and they offered me a 2-year deal to be the Cadbury's Cream Egg man, and that was that, and I got enough money to put a down payment on a flat. That is was the moment my mum said, I think we're going to be, you might be okay here. Because I was 25 and I was able to put a deposit down on a flat, which is not in London, which not everybody could do. But that wasn't because of Shooting Stars directly or because of stand-up. It was because I was doing some commercials.
So you met Bob Mortimer and then Shooting Stars happened, what, quite quickly after?
I met Bob Mortimer I started doing stand-up in October 92 and I met Bob Mortimer in November 92. And then he brought along producers to see me. So I ended up doing stand-up on some TV shows. And he was my kind of mentor, my champion. And everybody needs one, you know. And I was very lucky that he was mine. And a couple of other people were very encouraging. Jerry Sadowitz was very encouraging. He was a very big deal when I was starting out. And he was a real champion of mine as well. So I was very lucky. And my act was really strange.
Like, tell us about it.
So I played this character called Sir Bernard Chumley, who I did in Little Britain.
Yeah.
But it's a much more toned down performance in Little Britain. It was wild. It was loud. It was filthy. It was semi-improvised. I was running around the stage screaming at people. It was performance art, really.
Did people enjoy that character? And is that why you,
I mean, people loved it or hated it. I mean, it was complete Marmite. So some gigs I'd be booed off. Other gigs I would be opening as Sir Bernard. And then they'd make me encore, which you really shouldn't encore unless you're closing because it makes it hard for the next act to follow. Which I didn't know that. And I didn't know that, like, you don't do that.
Etiquette, yeah.
And then I did. I think I opened a show and got an encore. And then the act after me got booed off. And then I thought, and I was very apologetic. Somebody said that happened because
of you.
Of you. And I apologised. I never, ever did that again. And there was one time where they were just going encore, encore, encore after I'd opened a show. And I came back on stage and I literally told one joke and then went off again.
Is that
so
allowed?
Yeah, because I think you've got to acknowledge what's going on in the room. And that was what was going on in the room. And if I hadn't done, the audience just wouldn't stop. The compere was on, but they just decided they wanted me back.
God.
So I went back on, got the applause, did one gag and then got off again. I think that's fair enough.
Did your mum, when Little Britain came out, was she like, you need to stop misbehaving? Or was she like, this is brilliant? Or did it kind of rub her up the wrong way?
No, I don't think, I think all of those things, in that there were some sketches she absolutely loved. There were some sketches that she didn't like, you know.
Which one did she love?
What did she like? I think she liked Fat Fighters.
Oh, well, the Weight Watchers one.
Yeah, because we had been, I mean, look, those sketches are the creation of me and David. So I can't say, oh, I came up with it or anything. Marjorie Dawes started on Shooting Stars, actually. And in answer to your other question, it was about 2.5 years after Bob saw me that we did Shooting Stars. So,
and he'd been mentoring.
Yes, yeah. But I'd been in another show of theirs before. 2 years after we met, I was in The Smell of Reeves and Mortimer as their kind of right-hand man. So just to pick up from that. But, you know, when I was 13, I got very big weight-wise. And the doctor said, you need to go to Weight Watchers. And so me and my mum went to Weight Watchers. My mum wasn't big at all, but we went to Weight Watchers and we did the Weight Watchers diet. And I lost a lot of weight, which I didn't keep off, but I lost a lot of weight. And we had this very, very lovely instructor, unlike Marjorie, who's not lovely at all, but we had a very nice instructor called Barbara. She was great. I really liked her, very supportive. But she used to say, got any new members? Any new members? And it's just stuck with me. So, you know, I used to, David Walliams was also a chubby kid. And so, you know, when I was telling him about Weight Watchers, you know, it felt like a good setting. We both decided to where Marjorie should go. So I think my mum really liked those sketches because there was, you know, she knew that environment. I think she didn't like, you know, the sketches where Judy and Maggie, you know, they're projectile vomiting. Or she said she didn't like Bitty. But when we first showed Bitty, when an adult who's still breastfed, when we first showed Bitty to the studio audience, because everything was either filmed in front of an audience or shown to an audience. That's how we knew whether it was funny or not. Yeah. And when we first showed Bitty to the audience, I hid and watched my mum because I knew she was going to complain about it. And I watched her and she laughed her head off.
Oh.
And so after the show, she said, well, I'm not sure about that one at all. And I said, well, you were sure about it when we showed it because I watched you and you were laughing. I made a point of coming out into the audience, just sneaking, and you were laughing a lot.
Do you think, I was a chubby kid, and do you think being funny kind of was a form of survival as well?
Or yeah, I mean, I was overweight, no hair. I lost my hair when I was 6 years old, struggling with my sexuality, was not athletic. I was, you know, I had very bad asthma and eczema as a kid. And you know, my parents are divorced. My dad was in prison. There was, you know, it was enough already.
Tough gig.
As we say, enough already. So, I think I channeled that into, you know, being in my bedroom, listening to the soundtracks of musicals, imagining myself on stage. I used to watch Saturday Live and Friday Night Live on Channel 4 and watch the Jasper Carrot Show with Punt and Dennis and people like that. And I used to plug my tape recorder into the video and record all the comedy routines to listen to. And then I used to go to school, and I didn't have that many friends at school, and I would go to school and I had these Sony Walkman, you know, and I had a knockoff, and I had earphones, but one of the earphones didn't work, you know, like it was only worked on one side. But in the playground, sometimes I would be playing football with other people, yeah, or I'd be in the math society on the computers, I was a big stamp collector because my grandfather was a philatelist. But often I would be sat listening to recordings from Jasper Carrot, Punt and Dennis, Saturday Night Live.
And you know, performing them in the playground.
Saturday Live. No, not performing
no,
them.
No, just but listening to them.
Memorising them, yeah. And then really, you know, that was in the late 80s, and by the early 90s, I was on the circuit with some of those comedians.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I remember gigging with Nick Ravel, and I knew every word of a Nick Ravel routine because I'd listened to it umpteen times.
Can I ask you what your last supper is? Starter, main, pud, drink of choice.
Oh, I see. Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you what.
Was it going to be processed food or...?
No, so for the starter, I'll do matzo ball soup.
You're making your own Last Supper.
Am I making it myself?
No, you don't have to, but are you going to choose your one or your mother's?
Katz's Deli.
Oh, what? It's awful.
It's good matzo ball soup there.
No, because the matzo ball's massive. I like the
wow,
the girth of the and the of the matzo ball, but the soup is not good enough.
I had a good day.
I thought it was just really salty.
I had a good soup there.
Katz's Deli.
Why, where's better chicken soup?
Probably your house and mum's.
Yes, but like in it where you would pay for it.
I think it's really hard.
It's hard to get good chicken soup.
It's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, very few places serve matzo ball soup in this country as well, let alone in New York and LA you find some.
You know what? I really like the Whole Foods chicken soup. So sue me.
No, but does
it
have?
I don't care. What has it got in it? It's got like brown rice in it, and it's like mum's chicken soup, and it tastes really nice.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Okay, fine. So are you doing matzo ball soup?
Yeah, I'll do
Katz's Deli. I like that. Okay, fine.
I'll get the breast of chicken princess. I won't have the asparagus on it.
Darling, will you have
that? Yes, please. That they serve in Oslo Court.
Where's Oslo Court?
What are you talking about?
Hold on, is this place in North London?
In St John's Wood.
That's like...
In a block of flats. When I was on...
Has Jay Rayner talked about this?
Yes, without a doubt. When I was on... wow, look at that. When I was on Desert Island Discs...
Is that plum cooked, Mum?
Thank you.
Yes.
I might go... Yeah, well, I'll be good.
Jesse!
Have you got your pen?
Yes, in my bag.
Okay, fine.
When I was on...
Enjoy.
I will. Oh, ice cream. When I was on...
Desert Island Discs.
And can I, just as a sort of, it's a slight going off piste here, but they asked me before they asked Walliams. When I was on Desert Island Discs.
That will stay in, don't worry.
I think it's worth saying. When I was on Desert Island Discs, for my luxury item, I took that restaurant.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'll have their breast of chicken princess because it comes with, it's silver service and it comes with like, just loads of different vegetables. You can have the peas. Then they'll go, sometimes they just come up and they give you a lucker.
Jess, do you want some?
Veg. Roast potatoes, chips and sauté potatoes and mashed potatoes. They put it all on your plate.
And you're thrilled.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's... I'm slightly over-carbed at that point. Okay. But I would go for their breast of chicken princess. Also, the service is terrific there. And have you, I don't know if you've been in there.
I've never
but
been.
It's all Jews and criminals. And there's an element
have
of overlap.
Have you ever been to Cantor's in LA?
Yes, of course. I lived in LA for 7 years.
They're so rude to you. They well, I was are there, elderly people.
I was there two weeks ago and they were not rude at all.
Oh,
they were very nice.
What was your order?
I had chicken soup. Mutton ball soup.
That?
Yeah. Who knew?
So, okay, so Oslo Court.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go there.
You're going to have to go there.
Okay, so that's your main. What's your pud?
Viennese.
Oh, my God. Well, we better have some ice cream then.
It's nice.
It's a good day when Viennese is in the freezer.
I had a moment. I bought this house in LA, and it was really nice. It was like a big old thing, the big old spread.
Yeah.
And I had this moment. I arrived in West Hollywood, and I walked around the supermarket. And I went to the freezer, and they've got every type of ice cream you can imagine.
Yeah.
Their Haagen-Dazs is very different to what we get here. Although Haagen-Dazs chocolate ice cream is better here than in America, because it's got those tiny little nibs of chocolate inside there.
Mm.
But their one doesn't. But they've got... But I looked. No Viennese. And I suddenly thought I had a slight existential panic, which is, have I moved to the wrong country? Is it too late to sell my house? Can I live in a country without Viennese?
Do you always have it in your freezer?
No, I should do though. I quite like they do a butterscotch one, which tastes like Wool's Romantica, which I used to love, which they don't do anymore. I think they do it in Ireland, but not
Wool's
here.
Romantica.
Oh, yeah, Romantica was lovely. It was like a Viennese, but there was
a cake.
It was a cake.
And it was butterscotch. You're too young. No, but what other desserts do I like? Come on. Oh, all right. My stepfather Ralph.
Yeah.
Does a very good Lokshan pudding.
Ooh. Oh, we've made Lokshan pudding.
Yes. But is it with apple? Because you don't...
No, he does it with sultanas. He does it without apple for me, yeah. Well,
nice.
He did it without apple when I came.
And you loved it.
Yeah, Lokshan pudding's great. So do people know that's vermicelli?
Yeah.
With, like, icing sugar and...
An egg.
An egg and sultana. And then you boil...
Cinnamon, vanilla.
Cinnamon, vanilla. And then you put it in the oven and kind of bake
Darling,
it.
Darling, do you want some ice cream?
God, I'll have a little bit. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry we didn't get the Viennese in.
I didn't ask.
No, you didn't.
I can, Viennese I can buy.
What is this like? This is New York Times.
It's really yummy.
I don't doubt. I bet I'm sure it's delicious.
And I think the plums are cooked.
Mm.
Should I say
Viennese? I mean, there must be.
No,
yeah,
I
was going to go
that.
With Lokshan.
I love that. I love that. You can have both. And your drink of choice?
Pepsi Max Lime. Although I've spoken about this before.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why. It's got... this is alchemy, that's why. I've got my napkin. Hello, cat.
Are you okay with cats?
Yeah. I mean, I'm allergic to them. I just don't have to...
Oh, my God.
No, but I just don't stroke them.
Okay. That was delicious.
Was it?
I really enjoyed it.
I don't know what...
I'm supposed to be in a leotard in about a week, but I'm just going to scrape a bit more.
Scrape a bit more.
Yeah. That's really nice.
Mmm.
I'm enjoying it, Mum.
Do you like karaoke?
Yeah,
darling?
I like karaoke.
Which song would you sing?
Copacabana.
Oh,
Barry.
You'd be really good at that.
I mean, it's fun, isn't it? Because everyone joins in with that one as well.
That's a really good one.
Mm.
I think that's generous.
I did Islands in the Stream as well.
Who with? David?
Someone at university.
Did it go down well?
Yeah, it did. Oh, I went to
but
a bar
you've got
once
a good
about
voice,
20 years
so
ago.
It's quite a bit cheating.
That's kind
20
of
years.
You. About 20 years ago. I went to a real spit and sawdust bar in Florida. And, you know, it was all like straight dudes and they were singing country and Western songs.
Oh my
and
God.
I sang Stars from Les Miserables. And I smashed it. I will say I smashed it. And people were coming up, you know, people were like, what are you doing? But they're all right about
you,
it, actually.
It's one of the few musicals I'm not keen on.
You don't like Les Mis?
No.
Have you not?
Seen it twice.
Really? Yeah. I've never seen it. I've only seen the film.
Bit miserable.
No, well...
Yeah.
Mom. Do you like... have you ever seen Pippin?
No.
No, people don't know it. It's a wonderful
No,
film.
I know it. I know of it. I tell you, one of the best musicals that I ever saw was in New York called The Wiz.
Yeah, they're doing it again.
They're not.
They are.
Oh, my God.
Announced today.
You gotta keep on down the road.
Down the road, yeah.
Maybe I'll get my kids to watch that this
weekend. It's just the best. Mm.
I've never seen it on stage.
I saw it in New York, but I mean, in 1976, so.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was 100 years ago.
Because the film is Diana Ross and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but it wasn't as good as the musical.
Yeah, I've heard it's best on stage.
The musical is amazing. Did you ever see Dreamgirls?
I saw it. I've got a funny story about that. I saw it on the film, which I thought was very good. My mum and stepdad went to see it, and they didn't. It wasn't for them.
Really? Yeah, my mum shouted out. She said, "Go on, girl."
They didn't like it. I said to my mum, "What did you think of Dreamgirls?" She went, "Ugh, ugh."
Why?
Like that. I said, "It's great." Ugh.
She does this song,
and I'm telling you, I'm not going. I thought, all right, we get it. Leave us alone.
Oh, I loved it. I cried when I heard that song.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
So naughty.
That's
the film
amazing.
The film for that is very good as well, I think. I've never seen it on
so
stage,
good.
But I like the Dreamgirls movie.
Apart from Oslo Court, are there any other food places that you may take us out?
Darling,
to?
Not London centric, please.
No, I don't know.
He might have performed in Edinburgh.
I didn't
or
say
Newcastle.
London.
Newcastle.
All right, yeah. All right, Miss. Okay.
Yeah.
BBC.
Trying to be a bit diverse there.
But you can also.
I went
London.
To a place on the Isle of Man once. No, I did.
You're just doing it to make us laugh.
No, I did go to a place on the Isle of Man, and they served. I've never seen this in a restaurant, but actually, I think it is a thing. It was. I had bangers and mash, but they served it inside a giant Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, how nice! Did you like that?
Couldn't finish it, but it was very nice.
How delicious!
Yeah, that was on the Isle of Man. I don't know if they're still there. That was nice. Outside London.
No, I think that was very good.
Very good. Are you going on a book tour?
Yes.
So where will you be going?
I'm going to do some book festivals. I think I'm doing Hay.
Fab.
Cheltenham.
Wow.
Quite a few book festivals. I'm going to lots of schools to meet kids and tell them about my book and teach them some of the songs.
Matt, it's been such a pleasure
Thank
to meet
you.
You are so lovely and interesting and talented. And The Boy That Slept Through Christmas sounds so exciting and beautiful. And I can't wait for my children to enjoy it. And
I can't wait
to see it on the stage and see it as a three-part thriller musical. I can't wait for it.
Thank you. You can buy the book, obviously, the audio book, the e-book, whatever. But if you're just curious to hear the music, go to The Boy... TheBoyWhoSlept.com.
Okay.
TheBoyWhoSlept.com, and you can hear all the songs there.
Great. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you for eating the chicken. And
thank you for cooking for me. How lovely.
Thank you for eating a plum tart, even though you have an EpiPen ready.
I did. Yeah, but it's cooked. So when it's cooked, it's fine.
But it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Was it? Did you like the recipe, good old Jamie Oliver?
That was a bit like Ottolenghi, what he made for us. What's it called? A friand? Friand?
I don't know, but it's New York Times.
Delicious. I don't know what makes it a fucking tort, though. It's a cake, Mum.
I don't know, but it looks quite nice, doesn't it, with the plums stuck in. You make the batter and then you push the plums in.
Mum, it was all really delicious.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver's, that Tzatziki chicken.
Yeah, from Skopelos. He cooked it on the island of Skopelos first.
I really like that.
And thank you, Ginger Pig, for the biggest chicken I've ever seen.
Such a bird.
I know.
Steve?
It was a big bird.
Big bird.
Speaking as a big bird myself, that was a big bird.
That was really delicious. Thank you to Matt Lucas for coming over. His book, The Boy That Slept Through Christmas,
sounds gorgeous.
So wonderful. And he seems so proud of it.
Yeah.
And I just love chatting to him.
He was great.
Thank you to everyone who is listening and who continues to listen to the podcast. And if you do have messages for us, send them in at hello@tablemannerspodcast.com. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.